Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. This afternoon, after our Padimokkha recitation, the Ajahn Amaro gave a reflection on centering around aging, sickness, death, and this is a it's an important theme that the Buddha emphasizes. And quite essential for just establishing that perception of kind of the reality of the situation that we're in, being born into the world with faculties of body and a mind, but they are subject to aging, to sickness, to death. And that is something that, you know, for whatever culture, time, there's always been a quest to, you know, how to deal with that, how to understand it, how to transcend it, how to, I mean, there's a whole range of reactions, how to sort of, I mean, the big word now is how to embrace it. How to embrace it. But you know, the whole fundamental reaction of the, say, the human response is, you know, it's one of you know, it isn't sort of looked on with kind of delight and gratitude. I mean, in the sense of, you know, here we are stuck in a mortal condition, and you gotta be nuts to like it. This is, you know, you can rationalize it or look for sort of the good bits and kind of try to erase and rationalize the and sort of beautify the unpleasant bits, but the reality is that it is tremendously intimidating and concerning to reflect and see clearly that, you know, however way you cut it, we're bound by aging, sickness, and death. So the Buddha tends to deal with it in a way that is he doesn't kind of gloss it over or prettify the situation. What he does is go right to the heart of the matter and take it as a theme for investigation, take it as a theme for reflection. And that's done in many ways. But one of the ways is to, in meditation and contemplation, investigation, taking the body as a theme for contemplation, and looking at it quite dispassionately. And because the kind of the crucial problem is the identification with it as, you see, as mine, as me. I am this body and this mind. It is mine. It should obey my commands. The sense of me being this particular conglomerate configuration of conditions in this present moment. So that to take the particularly the body, I mean, it's body and mind is what we tend to identify with, but the physical body is because it's tangible, it's much easier to contemplate, and it's helpful to, and its changes are a lot more tangible as well. I mean, our mind changes much more rapidly, and our mind changes probably much more dramatically, but we tend not to notice it so clearly. For all the changes that our mind has, it's both its rapidity and the extremities of changes in mood and mind and opinions and views. The function of delusion is usually sort of right side by side with it, so that somehow it seems reasonable. Or that one can apportion blame somehow, somewhere. If the mood changes, it really wasn't my problem. It was because of that idiot somewhere else. But taking the body is, again, it's more tangible, and the identification tends to be much stronger. So that to take the body as a basis for investigating and contemplating its characteristics, say, as I said, there's many different ways of taking body contemplation, but one of them is looking at it in terms of elements. And the traditional way of looking at things in terms of their elements is seeing the earth, water, fire, air element. And these are from the traditional perspective of the way the Buddha taught these elements. It's not to take it literally as earth, as in the sort of dirt out in the fields, and water just that's flowing in the streams, but it's more the characteristics of earth being solid, occupying space, water being something that is it's fluid, it has a capacity for cohesion, the heat, the fire element being the characteristic of heat or absence of heat, which is manifested in cool. Air being the movement, movement flowing, the capacity for supporting or so that these movement or supporting that it's sort of the if one moved one's hand from the say ancient Indian perspective, it's the air element that helps the body to move. Say if you move your arm, it's the air element that's helping to make that possible. So that taking these elements as an object of contemplation, particularly in our meditation, so that we start to step back from the, and again, it's very important to recognize what are we trying to do. We're trying to step back from the kind of the way that we habitually identify with the sense of self. This I, me, mine, grasping, attachment, identification. So that looking at the experience of the body, the experience of our physicality, the experience of our what we identify as when we look in the mirror and who we see, through the experience of rather than sort of that visual memory or that how we perceive ourselves, and by extrapolation perceiving others through different characteristics, that how do we experience the physical body, and using the elements as the basis for that experience, so that as we're sitting and meditating and taking the you're sitting and you're sitting as a physical body, you're breathing. And the breath being the most common meditation technique, so that using just taking the breath and beginning to look at that as in terms of the elements, so that when there is the air element, so that recognizing that there is this, say, external air element that one is breathing into the body and breathing out again. There's just the air of the, let's say, around us as an element, coming in, supporting us as a physical body, breathing out, and this rhythm of air coming in, coming out of the body. It's not me, it's not mine, but it is an element. to attend to that as a, say, as an element. And then how is it experienced? Because there's usually this one way that the air element is experienced is in this, so this quality of pushing, or say when we breathe in, then there's this sense of the abdomen rising, the pushing out of the abdomen, and the abdomen falling. So there's this quality of pushing, of movement. Also, just in, and then start to, I mean, that's a very ordinary feeling, but then start to pay attention to how we experience that sensation of pushing in different areas of the body. Because when we breathe in, then there's you can feel other areas in the body where we're experiencing a sensation of pushing. It's just to say, just in the top of the head, back of the throat, the chest. And then starting to extend that awareness around the body, investigating for that sense of, that feeling of pushing. That gets with the experiences, with the movement of the breath or the movement of air as an element within the body. And it's common, it's ordinary, but it's something we don't attend to. So that it can be taken as an object, and seeing, again, it's sort of seeing it as the element of air, how the element of air is experienced. The other way that it's traditionally seen as an element in its sort of its characteristic or its function is in supporting that the, say, in the same way that, especially for me, say my zafu is a beach ball, so I'm being supported by the air element when I'm sitting meditation. That's on an external basis. On an internal basis, we experience that supporting. You know, it's again from the traditional perspective of the how Indian culture or Indian perspective, where just by that's how we maintain our posture. It's the air element that helps to maintain. If you lean forward a bit and then come back up to a straight posture, it's sort of the function of the air element to help support the body. So again, taking the air element and then allowing the experience of air element, as opposed to me struggling to keep my body erect, me struggling to keep propped up, but then allowing the air element to be present and to support. And there's a certain ease that comes from that, a certain spaciousness, and a stepping back from that identification, personalization of the body being me, just an element. The earth element being a Again, this is the function of the earth element is more around that taking up space, being tangible. And how do we experience the earth element in when we're sitting in meditation? It's helpful to just go through that. And say one of the ways is, say, it's hardness. The earth element is something that is hard. It has a certain solidity to it. It's hard. So that, of course, when we're sitting and meditating, you breathe in, breathe out. There's, say, the experience of that is most sort of clear is the experience around the, say, around the head, around the face. Awareness gets centered up there, and then of course, what's the hardest thing that you experience is teeth. And just saying, and rather than sort of being my teeth or whatever, it's just that's hardness. And to get a sense of, well, this is what's hard as an earth element. And that's the that's the clearest or the most tangible thing right off the bat. But then to be going through the body and then recognizing just hardness in different places. You know, and there's different degrees of hardness. If we didn't have, say, just the hardness of the skeletal structure, then, you know, we would be, kind of an amorphous, kind of a blob sitting here and meditating. So that the attending to the sensation, the feeling, experience of hardness. Another feeling of on an experiential level of what the elements are, the earth element, is a certain roughness. And you think, how do earth element is rough? And you think you just running your teeth or over the, say, under the your top, and running your tongue over underneath the teeth, and you feel this immediate sense of roughness. And then you just, that's say an experiential doorway, window on the feeling, the sensation, the quality of roughness that is part of the earth element. And then to sort of view the body, scan the body, pay attention around the body and other places of where there's roughness. I think area, say, skin, where the skin is rough. Yeah, whether it's someone's hands or arms, it's knees. You know that is, there's a feeling of roughness there. A feeling of another feeling of the quality of the earth element is say heaviness. It has weight. Experience of weight of feeling of that being heavy. And so that just as we're sitting in meditation, just the feeling, the weight of the When you have your hands in meditation, whatever hand is on top is felt pressing down on the hand that's underneath. That's just a normal, ordinary sensation. But it's elemental. And it's like in nature to occupy space. It's not me, it's not mine. It's just a natural manifestation of the elements. Whatever, and then to again go through the body and experiencing it as something that has weight, has is pressing down through from gravity because of its weight. The feeling in the shoulders, feeling in the arms as they rest on across the top of the legs, the feeling at the base of the spine as it's we're sitting. It's a feeling of weight, of heaviness. And you don't have to be measuring how heavy. It's just a feeling of weight, and it's a feeling of an element. Doesn't have to be translated into that sense of self and self-identification. It's just a universal quality of weight, of heaviness, that when you occupy space, there's a certain weight to it. And those qualities also have their opposites, in the sense that with the earth element, when there's a feeling of hardness in the body, there also the earth element can be experienced as that which is soft. And just taking the tongue and pressing on the inside of the mouth, on the inside of the lips. It was very, very soft. As human beings, we're not all hard edges and corners. There's softness. And then to experience that, to feel that, go scanning through the body and say, oh yeah, there's all sorts of areas that feel very soft. There's also the opposing that feeling of roughness is a feeling of smooth. The smoothness of it's easy taking the tongue and wetting the lips. It's a smoothness. And our body there's these areas of smoothness, feeling, experience of smoothness. So scanning through the body from the top of the head down to the tips of the toes, it's just this looking at the various sensation. How do we experience? And again, not in terms of a visual, me-centered thing, but as on an elemental level, on an experiential level, the experience of softness, of smoothness, of lightness, as opposed to heavy. And the body doesn't have to be experienced always as something heavy. There's always, it could be this lightness. Say, so just sitting and just lifting one finger. You see, it's just, it's so light. And you can feel that sometimes, like when you're meditating, or when you're practicing, or even walking down the, I mean, sometimes like walking down the mountain, just feeling so light. Some days feeling so heavy. And, you know, rather than, you know, making it into a whole story about me, it's just, these are just how we experience the elements. The body being constituted, relying on elements, and to taking it as a investigation, contemplation. And fear the element of fire. You know, as we're, as we breathe in, again, this is the either the presence or absence, presence of heat, absence of heat. Cool. So when we breathe in, one of the first sensations that we experience is a sensation of coolness. Just as we breathe in, the air is cool. As we breathe out, the air from the body is warm. That's the sensation. As the air comes in, it's cool. As it goes out, it's warm. It's a tip, the sensation at the tip of the nose is a sensation of the fire element. And then to, again, going through the body, how do we experience cool or heat in different areas of the body? Because we can feel, say, our ears can be cool, and our tummies can be warm. And it's just this the, and it's just the heat element, the fire element. And sometimes we can be comfortable with it being warm and uncomfortable when it's cool, or we can be comfortable when it's cool and uncomfortable when it's warm. But it's just the fire element is all. And again, we come up with all the stories of whether, what we like and what we dislike and how we want it, what we prefer. But in the end, it's just elements. To be viewing it from that perspective, so that the water element is the characteristic of that which is moist. Of course, the moisture of the inside of the mouth flowing, you're feeling that with the water element in some way, especially when you're thinking of flowing and cohesion. The others can all pretty much be experienced from through the tactile capacity or sensation of the body, but the water element, the element of that has the characteristic of flowing and cohesion, has to be a bit of extrapolation or more extrapolation than the others. But still, you can, you know, it's a sense of the moisture, the swallowing saliva, just flow, the movement of flowing. Or knowing that there's, say, where, say, the blood that courses through our veins, flowing through our veins. I mean, if it stopped flowing, then we'd really be in trouble. Through extrapolation or through knowledge, that recognition that the water element plays a huge role in our this, what we consider a human being, and ourselves. I mean, we're mostly water elements. It's over about 65% water. The human body is about 65% water, fluid. And you don't really think of that. We see our bodies as being substantial, holding, taking up space. But that that water element plays a huge role. And the cohesion, of course, that's where the element of cohesion, where it's able to hold together as a function of the water element, of cohesion, holding things together, creating that the binding quality of the tissues of the body, that nurtures, nourishes the body, is all the function of the water element. So the blood that goes through all the little capillaries to bring energy, the whole lymph system that keeps us, our health maintained. It's all the water element, that fluid aspect. So that going through the body and recognizing this is water element. So that this reflection, investigation around the elements and how we experience them, how we what it feels like to have a body, and a body that is composed of these four elements. And so it's a very helpful contemplation, and in particular that sense of really being able to step back from that self-identification, that sense of me, because generally when you look in the mirror in the morning, and you don't see, most people don't tend to see four elements. They tend to say it's me. There I am. But that constant focus around sort of I, me, and mine has its it has its problematic nature. That to be able to step back, having a respite from that, and see things where we can see ourselves more as elements of nature, seeing ourselves as composites of natural phenomena. Starts to give, lightens the way we hold ourselves and then gives us an insight into the nature of body and mind. But whether it's body, whether it's mind, it is these, you know, sort of natural elements, natural phenomena that arise and cease, arise and pass away, you know, transient, changing, shifting, inconstant, unsure. And through the power of our delusion and our grasping, you know, then we come up with our preferences, our worries, our fears, our attachments, or how we desire, how we want, how we crave. But the basis is always just this body and mind. So to investigate, oh, this is the way things are according to nature. This is the way things are according to, so this is just in terms of phenomena. And that gives another perspective that is more conducive to, relinquishment, letting go, cooling. And the mind becomes very cool, clear, when we're able to, to step back from that self-identification. And that's exceedingly pleasant, peaceful. So that to experiment with this meditation, experiment with this contemplation, and it's something that is ubiquitous. I mean, the elements are all around us, whether it's outside us or inside us, but sort of the internal experience of our body, our mind, is where we can use this contemplation for helping to settle and cool the mind. So I offer that for reflection this evening.